The Low Post is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to a special edition of The Low Post podcast. We are thrilled to be joined by the one and only, The Process, Philadelphia 76ers All-Star Center, Joel Embiid. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm hanging in. So we got to start. Last night, you beat the Nets at home. Only Kyrie played of the big three. You landed funny on a dunk, and you grimaced. And when that happens, the whole basketball world stops for a second. And then you were tugging on your brace a bunch after that. So is everything good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything's good. Just managing it. Still getting back to where I was before the injury, as far as, getting back in. Not perfect shape, and my body feeling the way it was before. So every single day just feeling better. As far as last night, sometimes you're going to be 100%, sometimes you're not going to be. So, but that's the nature of the NBA. Got so many games almost every single day. So, sometimes your body feels great, sometimes it doesn't.
How scared were you when that first injury happened? Because I had heard that the swelling went up and then it went down and then it went back up again. So was even a couple days removed, was there a period where you were like, whoa, what's going on here?
From the time it actually happened in Washington, when it happened, I thought it was over for me. I thought my season was over because of the pain and, what I've never felt before, and probably the only thing similar that I felt before was the foot injury as far as pain. So I just knew that, that was it. And I just was basically telling myself that, can't have anything nice. When everything seems to be going well, it just feels like something else always has to happen. And then we went to the locker room. I actually told them to put me as questionable to return because I wanted to come back so bad. I wanted to believe that it wasn't that bad, but I knew that, I was probably done. And then it swelled up, I started icing it right away in the locker room. Nothing changed. I ended up needing crutches to get out of the arena and go to the plane. And then that same night, we got to Philly, and I went straight to the hospital to do some MRI. And that's where, we got somewhat of a good news as far as, figuring out that it was actually not as bad as I feared it to be. So that was relieving.
So when you got injured, when the season got its halfway point, I said on TV, right now, my MVP by a tiny, tiny margin is Joel Embiid over Jokic. I had you guys 1-2 with LeBron 3. You've missed 18 games, but you've been adamant you don't think the MVP race is over. So explain to me, make the case. This is, I'm giving you the forum.
I mean, it's not my job to make the case, but if you want me to make the case, you can look at it. First seed in the East, the numbers speak for themselves. And we're not just talking about the offensive side of the basketball game. We're talking about, the defensive side of the game, which is if you actually go through all the numbers and stuff. Some could say I could be deserving of, being the defensive player of the year. So when you add, both of them, as far as, the offensive side of the game and the defensive part of it, and you mix it in with being the number one seed, I don't know what more could you ask. Yeah, the game is out there, but I feel like, I also missed some games because of COVID and all of that. So it's just I feel like it's just a different year. Guys, everybody's missing games here and there. That's the nature of the game. But like I said, it's like basketball is played on both sides. And I feel like, you know, when you talk about being dominant and, you know, best, you know, two-way player, I feel like I'm up there.
What do you think of James Harden's case? What should we do with James Harden? No, nobody's ever won the MVP being traded in season and the way he got out of Houston. Do you think we should be considering him as seriously as we appear to be?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You look at since he got to Brooklyn, I mean, they went on that win streak and they've been dominant ever since. And then he got hurt and, you know, they're still winning, but they're also losing. But they're not winning as they were before the injury. And I feel like he's had a big impact when it comes to that. And I don't think you can take away. The way things ended in Houston, obviously, it was unfortunate. But I see it as, you know, he's just been dominant. Carrying that Brooklyn team, being a point guard and doing what's needed to do, especially considering he's had to change his game in a lot of ways. Going from, taking, 25, 30 shots a game to just being a playmaker and actually being okay with it and actually doing a great job at it. I think been doing a good job. And I don't think you can use whatever happened in Houston against him. I felt like he should have been resolved before the season. And it's not his fault that the team decided to drag on and, to try to find the best deal available to send him wherever they wanted to send him. I don't think you can use that against him.
The Nets game last night, everyone's been gearing up for this game, number one and two in the East, all these stars. Then James gets hurt, so you know James isn't playing. And then KD, they sit him out on a back-to-back. So, like, when do you guys on the Sixers learn that Durant's not playing? Kyrie is playing, but Durant's not. And do you get deflated almost like we do as fans and people who are psyched for this game?
Yeah, for sure. For me, I like the challenge. And, we've been playing well all season, and those are the type of matchup that kind of tell you where your team is if you're actually that good. So, it would have been, great to go against them healthy, with KD and James healthy. But like you said, I won the challenge, and I actually want to see how good we are. So if we're in those situations, and let's say we lose the game, so we know what we got to work on and what works and what doesn't. But I would say, yesterday was still a great matchup. Obviously, they're missing two of the best players. But I think it would be better if everybody was healthy. But at the end of the day, you can't control it. And we talked about injuries right before this. And it's unfortunate, but that's the NBA. You got to take whatever is given to you. Some nights I got injured. Some nights some teams play against us without me. And some nights we play against teams without their best player. And win or lose, you just got to take them.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes! Catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's there up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, watch out for them. You name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
The Low Post fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite The Low Post episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like First Take and Pardon the Interruption ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/low. That's amazon.com/low to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, the Nets have DeAndre Jordan on their team because of you, and they started him last night because of you. And I think you started the game like 4 of 13 or something. And on the broadcast, Mike Green's like, all right, DJ's doing a pretty good job on Joel Embiid. This is a really interesting subplot. I am guessing that matchup does not concern you very much. You got comfortable as the game went on, but you know that that's why he's on the team basically.
I mean, I would have said that he started the game before against Minnesota.
He did. You're right.
Yeah. So I would have said that. And, you know, before LaMarcus got there, you know, he was starting most of the game. But yeah, DJ is a great defender, you know, going back to his Clipper days. You know, he should have been, he's always been on all NBA defensive teams. You know, he's going to do his best. But when you play against a guy like Joel Embiid, Joel is also going to make it tougher on the defender because it's also hard to guard me because of everything I can do on the basketball court when it comes to, you know, shooting, shooting off the dribble, shooting threes, you know, ball handling, everything, everything on the post. So I also make it hard on whoever, no matter how good they are defensively.
This is too polite. I don't like this new polite Joel Embiid, this guy who doesn't talk trash anymore. You do the crotch chop though. When you get an and one and you fall to the ground, you do the little DX. Where did you pick that up?
Triple H and Sean, I've always been, you know, especially Triple H, my favorite wrestler. So, you know, we all go back to the days where, you know, the DS days. So that's where I got him from.
I did notice against Dallas the other day, and you just obliterated the Mavericks, just destroyed the Mavericks. But Luka shot an air ball right in front of you on the left sideline, and you didn't talk trash, but you kind of paused and stared at him right in the face. He fell over, and you kind of paused going back the other way and looked at him, and I couldn't see how you looked at him, but you looked at him. Like, he made a point to look at Luka after that air ball. I don't know if he said anything, but I saw something, right?
No, in my head, you know what I was thinking? I was actually giving myself some type of props because he was wide open. As I was closing out, I think he got scared. And then in my head, it also, because I care so much about defense, and when those type of play happens, it's almost like, oh, I must be. That's why, you know, I want to be the defensive player of the year. I should be the defensive player of the year because, you know, when guys get next to me, it's almost like, I don't know, if you watch the game, like, defense is just more than stats. Like, it's just about, you know, the impact you have around you. And when you watch games and, like, just being on the court, like, a lot of guys, when they attack, like, they just tend to just look away instead of, especially when they get next to the rim, just because there's that fear. It's not even about, like, I went from being a shot blocker to just being a good defensive player as the year kept going on, because, you know, as I've been in the NBA, I've learned that defense is not just about, you know, stealing the ball or blocking shots. It's also about your placement on the court. Like, the way how you make, you know, other guys see you, like what you do on the court, how you use your hands and your feet, your movement, your placement. So when those type of plays happen, it's almost like, well, that's why you got good defensively, because guys are just scared of you. So I just looked at him, I was like, oh my God, how did you just elbow? Like, he was basically wide open and I was running at him and he just elbowed. I was like, how did that happen?
Well, I hate to break it to you, but you and Ben cannot both win Defensive Player of the Year. Ben is also, yeah. Ben Simmons has also campaigned for it. You have supported his candidacy for maybe, yeah. I don't know if you guys can split it or what, but you can't, I don't mean to pit you against him, but you can't both win it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, of course. He's been a monster defensively all season, and I do think he should win it for sure. You know, he has an impact on the court, especially every single night, you know, guarding the other team's best player and just getting stops and just getting in passing lanes, just doing whatever you need him to do. And I know he wants you very much, and, you know, I'm not fighting about it. I mean, it would be nice to win it, but this year I feel like he deserves it. And in the future, that's something that, you know, I've always wanted. But as far as this year goes, and I know how much he cares about it, and I really hope he does win it, and he should win it. But I also want to make sure that, you know, just because I'm averaging 30 points a game, I also don't want people to forget about, you know, the side of the ball that matters to me more than the offensive side of the ball. Like I said, I've always wanted to win it, and that's something I'm going to do at some point in my career. And I feel like, you know, when you talk about defensive players, like there's a bunch of ways you can explain about when it comes to defensive player. You got Ben. Those type of guys that got the best player on the other team. Matisse, you know, one of my other teammates, he's really good, and I think he has a chance to be in those conversations in the future. And then you got rim protectors like Rudy, me, Miles Turner. So, like, it just depends on, you know, what people like and what people choose to, you know, really enjoy the most. But like I said, I think he should win it, and he deserves it.
One of the things that's happened this year, and I think it's helped your defense too, is you took your conditioning and your diet to another level, which is, I know you're sick of talking about it because people ask you about it all the time, but it's been written about a lot this season, and everyone I know in the Sixers has said, no, it's legit. He's taken it up a notch, up a few notches. So I know you've got a dietitian and all this stuff. What was the toughest food and or beverage for you to cut out or give up or limit? What was the toughest one?
Honestly, it wasn't much, actually. One of the good things about, you know, working with who I've been working with, basically, when we started working together, we talked and, you know, trying to figure out what I like and what's good for me. And the main thing that she did, she didn't try to cut off anything that I like. She just finding different ways how to, you know, like what we put in. I don't know what they do because I have a chef too, but she's always talking to the chef about, you know, finding ways out to, like, put whatever they put in the food and, you know, just to reduce the calories or the sugar intake and all that stuff. But he hasn't really been a change. That's what I like the most, because in the past, I've had to, I worked with a nutritionist before, and, like, they were trying to, you know, make me eat so healthy, like all these salads and, you know, cut off, you know, everything that I like. And I just wasn't into it. Like, it just didn't seem right. And with her, it just been different. Like, she just adjusting to what I like. And then from here and there, she would tell me that, oh, I need to do this. I need to eat this. And we go from there.
in this book, I'm going to hold it up if you can see it, Tanking to the Top about the Sixers. There's a scene in here that I could not get out of my head as soon as I read it. And the scene is Brett Brown, who I know you still have a fondness for, is summoned into a meeting with all the coaches, and he doesn't know what the meeting is. And one of the assistant coaches, he asks the coaches, what are we doing here? Why am I meeting with all of you like this? And one of the coaches says to him, according to the book, we're here because there's a problem with Joel. He's disrespected just about everyone in this room and has become a major distraction. And this is where you're injured.
The coaches?
Yeah. And then there's another quote in the book from Brett saying, we're all going to get fired at some point because Joel's out of shape. And I wanted to ask you about that because it's a long time ago. But how do you feel, like, how did it feel to read that for the first time? Did you feel that it was exaggerated a little bit? I mean, you come over, you have a family tragedy, you have foot injuries. Like, it wasn't easy for you to suddenly have this life. But was it, when you read that for the first time and heard that story for the first time, did it surprise you? Were you like, man, that's kind of harsh, or do you, or what?
Yeah, it surprised me. Because like you said, that was at the time where it might have been, it was definitely after my first surgery. And, you know, I was coming back and, you know, starting to get back into it. And my brother had just died and, you know, I was away from the family. That was at the time, you know, I thought about, I wanted to quit basketball. After it happened, I just wanted to go home. Like, I just wanted to leave everything. And then after everything happened, I just came back here, and we were at a time where, you know, they were pushing me to do stuff, and I kept telling them, no, I'm not doing it, because I'm listening to my body, and my body's telling me, no, like, this is not working out. So, like, every single thing that I did, every single thing that they wanted me to do, I just didn't want to do it, because I just felt like it wasn't helpful and it wasn't going to help me. And little did I know is, you know, I needed a second surgery just because my foot wasn't healing the right way. So after that, and then that was the year where, you know, they wanted me to, you know, travel all over the place and, you know, just be with the team, and they never actually thought about the also mental aspect. Like, I love basketball and I play basketball for the right reason. So, you know, like, it takes such a toll just being on the bench for 82 games. Like, just sitting there and watching lose for 82 freaking games. Like, you just go into the game, you just know that we have no shot of winning this basketball game, and you just got to sit there. And then I'm dealing with the, you know, family, my brother dying, and, you know, not being able to play. They're pushing me to do stuff, to walk out and stuff. And I'm just kind of like, my foot doesn't feel good. So I don't think it's helping me. So, like, I just decided, at first I was doing it. And then at one point I just decided that I'm going to stop doing it because I'm only going to hurt myself. And guess what? I ended up needing the second surgery. So, you know, listening to those quotes again, I mean, it's a little harsh, you know, that's what these guys do. You know, they want to put stories out there, and they want views, you know, they want people to read, and they want to sell. So, that seemed interesting, but I just thought that, you know, at that time everything around was just not going good.
You have a baby son that you named after your late brother. Parenthood changes everybody who becomes a parent, but are you enjoying it? And how has it changed you? Because I was listening to your podcast you did with JJ Redick in the bubble. And you were a night owl. You were not only a night, I mean, you were like an up all night owl, and you can't do that and have a baby. So that's probably one way it's changed you, right?
It's changed me in a lot of ways. And I would say, you know, me deciding to, you know, just change everything this year, as far as, you know, playing basketball, the way I take care of my body, you know, what I eat. Especially one thing that's been helping me, you know, all season. It's called Macho Pure, and it's all about, you know, strengthening my muscles and stuff. Like, he's been helping me a lot. And, you know, doing all that stuff and having a chef, I think the biggest part that comes with it is, you know, having him. It's because I want him to see is that, you know, at his highest level. I want him to see is that, you know, winning championships, not just one, winning championship. Obviously, you got to win one first, and then you start thinking about the other ones. And I want him to see is that, you know, just dominating and just winning MVPs and Defensive Player of the Year. So that was one of the reasons why everything changed. And last year was also different. Like, I just didn't have the joy. There was a, I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but, you know, but everything with the team and everything around just wasn't right. Like, he, like he's too much to talk about, but he just wasn't right. And I wasn't having fun. Like, at times last year, like, and I'll be honest, like, I would come in, like, I'm the type of guy, I love playing basketball. And I would come in to the gym, and I would feel like, oh, my God, I hope this goes so fast so I can leave, so I can go home. Like, that's how I felt last year. And, like, I was going through such, like, I was at the point where I was just losing my mind. Like, everything was just not going good around. And that kind of explained last year went, and this year, you know, having a kid, you know, changed everything because I wanted to see that also dominating. So, yeah.
What's your best parenting skill? Are you a good diaper changer? Are you a good late night feeder? Are you a good, can you get him to stop crying? Like, what do you bring into the table parenting wise?
Everything. I mean, I do a little bit of everything.
Okay.
You know, I like to, but the main thing that I like to do is spend time with them and just play. Like, we really like to spend time with them and just enjoy every single that we can. You know, as far as, you know, diapers or feeding them or, you know, just playing with them. Like, we like to do everything ourselves, and especially me, because I want to be, growing up, my family, we were really, really close, but we could stay in the house and never talk. Like, we were close, but, like, we could never have conversations. So, like, I want to be with my kid and with my family. Like, I always want to be around and, you know, being open and always have fun and just communicate.
That's awesome. And you hear that a lot, particularly from fathers, I feel like, because fathers and sons is a lot of fathers and sons don't have real conversations. And you hear that. That's cool to hear you say that, because I can relate to that. And it's a cool thing to hear.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because of the eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning, wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low impact class, they've got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
the jump shot, everyone knows you're shooting the long two and the three at a career best level. And there are nights when I watch you and it just looks automatic. It looks so easy. You know, the face up jumper from wherever, the middle of the floor, the left wing, wherever. And I can just imagine defenders being like, well, what am I supposed to do? It's so demoralizing. So did you do anything different in the offseason? Like, why is your jumper, was it just repetition or did you change your preparation or your form? Is there anything different to explain this?
Well, first, we had a short, very, very short offseason. So it was kind of hard to just, you know, come in and, you know, just change everything. I just feel like that's something that I've always had, but I never got the chance to kind of, you know, just do it all. And what I mean by that is that obviously as the season ended, I had a kid right after that. So I was around, just getting ready for that. And as I had him, I had my trainer just come in and, you know, we would do 2 a day. And one thing that has changed a lot, we went away, we started thinking about, okay, like, what has been my shortcoming of the past, meaning in the playoffs? Like we just started looking at, okay, like, how do teams guard me? Mainly the past previous years, like, I've been mainly a post player. So we just felt like we just need to unlock something else, like, which I already have, but we just need to keep working on it and actually unlock it so I can do that in the game and feel comfortable in the game, which I've never felt comfortable doing in the game, even though I had it. So we started talking about, you know, playing at the nail, you know, shooting off the dribble, ball handling, just putting me all over the floor, not just in the post, because in the post it's harder, it's easy to double, like, but you can double me if I'm playing out a delay action and I'm handling the ball and, you know, I can decide which side I want to go. And, you know, if you give me a lot of space, I can just attack you and you will step or just pull up for the shot. So we decided to look at it that way and be like you can't double me if I'm dribbling the ball. Like, if you're going to do that, like someone is going to be wide open and I can see the whole floor, because I'm at the top of the key and I'm seeing everything. When you're on the block, it's harder to see the whole floor. Like, you don't see, people might think that you're wide open, but you, like, as the player with the ball, you might not see that they're actually wide open. So we started looking at that way and be like, in the playoffs, like, if we get to the playoffs, this is how they're going to guard you if you're just a post player. So you got to do something else. Like, you got to make sure they don't double you. Even if they double you, you got to get a shot off. So, we really work like every single day, sometimes twice a day, you know, fadeaways, like shooting off the dribble. So I think that's been what has, helped me the most this year.
It's interesting because you'll have some games, if you miss two or three in a row, I mean, obviously you're bothered by it. You want to make every shot, but you don't stop shooting. That's interesting to me because a lot of guys, if they miss two or three jumpers, particularly big guys, miss two or three jumpers, they'll just say, you know what, I got you. Have you had this sort of rewired, like, your brain, like, I just got to keep on shooting?
Yeah, that's something my trainer is always on me about. There's a lot of times, in the past, I would just miss two shots and I'd be like, that's not good. Like I want to be perfect and I want to make every shot. But if I make two shots in a row, like in the past, I would be like, I'm not shooting anymore. I'm just going to pass. So it's always on me every single day. And after every single game, we watch film. Like, we go over the game and we watch everything offensively and defensively to think about what I can do next. Like, our teams are gonna guard me, and it's always on me about just keep letting it fly, because in the playoffs, like, sometimes that's what's going to happen. Like, you're going to have to do it. And, just watching tapes on, the great players, like, Kobe, Dirk, Kim, just watching those guys, like, doesn't matter if they had a bad shooting night, you just got to keep shooting, because at some point, like, especially for great players, like, once you make one or two, it's over. You can get hot any time. So that's why I think, like, that's why my mentality, like, and I'm still reserved about, you know, shooting, and I'm still getting better. You know, at times, like, I'm extremely passive, which I should be, because I also have a bunch of great teammates, especially if I'm double. I should always pass it to the wide open man. But, you know, being aggressive also, someone that also has helped me a lot is also Doc. Like, if I'm taking a bunch of jumpers and he would tell me, you're settling too much, like, you're letting them off the hook. Like, you got to attack. Like, he's always on me about just being aggressive, like, whether it's to shoot the ball or to make the right play.
Well, the passing out of double teams is the other thing that everyone always watches, and you've clearly gotten better at that, and that's something you get a lot of reps at, right? I mean, you, like, you post, you get doubled, you know where your shooters are. The other thing I've noticed, maybe I've just noticed it more this year, is you're really good at doing this thing where you keep your dribble alive, and the double comes, and you dribble out to the toward the perimeter, but you don't pick up your dribble, and then you can dribble back into the post after the double goes away. Is that something you've worked on? Because you've gotten a lot of success. Just, it's a simple thing, but I see it a lot now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, a lot of teams, when they double me, it's just to try to get the ball out of my hands. And one thing, that's also one thing that we worked on, and, you know, just watching film and looking at the way teams guard me. You know, probably Toronto is the only team that really just doesn't allow me to, like, literally every single time we play against them, it's almost like as soon as the ball's in the air, they just send three guys at me and they won't leave me alone until I actually pass it. That's the only team, but with some other teams, like, they would just come to double just to make me think about it. And that's also another way to attack it, you know, just back out of it. And most guys, as soon as you back out of it, they tend to just try to go back to their man and leave the double. And that's when, you know, I just back out of it and I attack right back. And most of the time it works.
Last one, I'll let you go. And I know, I think I know the answer to this one, but how much did not making All-NBA drive you this year? How angry did it make you, or did it make you angry at all? Because you didn't make first, second, third team. And, like, that's weird to think about now watching you play. Obviously, there was missed games, but I know I've heard that that was something that did not sit well with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, not to be cocky, but a player of my talent, you know, should never not be in those type of conversation. So to not have made it, you know, it kind of hurt a little bit. And I remember when he came out, I was actually, we were at a hospital, and she was about, we had just gotten there, she was about to give birth, and I was just like, I was trying to contain myself. I was so pissed off, like I had headaches, like, and she was in the bed, like, just in pain, and I was just trying to contain myself. I was so mad and pissed off, like if, you know, in, like, shows and stuff or cartoons, like, when people get pissed off, air start coming out of the head. That's basically how I felt, man. That's how I'm mad at. Like, if it was any other situations, I would have probably broken something. Like, there was a TV in the room. I was thinking about just grabbing the TV and just breaking it. So, yeah, it kind of, I was really mad. Doesn't matter. People, you know, you guys probably thought that, yeah, I had a down year, but a down year for me is still, you know, better than most guys in the league. I understand the standard is very high, which I like, because it makes me want to work harder and always want to be better. But I still felt like I was deserving, and to not have made it, I could just, you know, it kind of, I had to kind of sit back and being like, yeah, people are being disrespectful. You got to show them next year. And I remember, I think I actually tweeted and I made a joke on Twitter about, like, people act like I got deported. I got deported back to Cameroon, and they forgot about me. So I was like, we'll see next year. So this next year is today now, and I guess a lot has changed.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that this year. We've gone over the time that we promised. You've been very generous with your time. Joel, it's always great to talk to you. I look forward, once I get vaccinated, to coming down to Philadelphia for a playoff game, and I'll say hello. But stay safe, and congrats on the kid, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, man.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.